Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Get behind the wheel of your new Opel at the Opel Open Road event now on at your Opel dealer.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now a very familiar... Oh, now time for something completely different.
I love muddy puddles. George, if you jump in muddy puddles, you must wear your boots.
Now, that is a very familiar and perhaps haunting sound for many listeners. I know it is for this presenter. But parents across the US are saying now that children are acquiring British accents thanks to Peppa Pig. It's certainly not a new phenomenon, and no doubt the Peppa effect has wormed its way into Ireland as well. To talk us through this, I'm joined on the line now by Vera Regan, Professor of Sociolinguistics at UCD. Good morning, Vera.
Good morning, Katie.
Could we just have saved a lot of money on elocution lessons and let our children loose on Peppa Pig instead over all these years?
Well, I'm afraid if we want our children to speak with an English accent, we'd have to do more than sit them in front of Peppa Pig, because just sitting kids in front of TV and letting it wash over them doesn't really result in them acquiring a whole other accent. They've done experiments with that where they put Dutch kids in front of English TV hoping they'd learn English. So the Dutch kids were sat in front of the TV and guess what? They didn't learn any English.
There's a difference there though, Vera, isn't there? Between learning a new language and, you know, picking up cadences and the various things that go into an accent.
Yeah, but the similarity is that really the kids will pick up chunks of words, but they will not pick up a whole system. So these American kids are sitting there and they're saying things like "mummy" and "how clever," and that's as far as they go. And the mothers are getting very anxious about them picking up a whole English pronunciation. That's not going to happen. What happens really when we hear other languages or we hear another dialect, which is in what's happening in this case? First of all, if there's a sort of a hole or a chunk in our language, it fills the gap. So these little kids are only two or three. They may have gaps in their language and words they don't have. So if they're hearing Peppa Pig provide them, they'll pop them in. And the second thing, and this is really important, it's the attitude, it's what they feel about it. It's, do we like what we're hearing? Now, these kids absolutely adore Peppa Pig. There are millions and millions of children in America listening to this. It's the second most in-demand cartoon in U.S. households for the last 12 months. So this is a very, very popular pig. So the kids are listening to it, and that's one of the other reasons why they're really keen to imitate. So they will imitate a certain number of words in speech. However, when they go to school, this is going to stop, because at that stage they're going to meet other kids, they're going to associate with American-speaking kids. They'll be moved on from Peppa Pig to something more like Cheers when they get to their teenage years. The big peer pressure group is their own other teenagers. These are the ones that are going to be cool. These are the ones they want to imitate, and they want to. Survival is everything, and language causes them to be able to survive in these groups that they want to belong to. So Peppa Pig will be very much forgotten at that stage.
I got a text in here and I smile because I recognise this. While listening to young people being interviewed last night on the news, says this texter, I asked my son, where are they from? And he replied, YouTube. That's from Marion. Because children are consuming an enormous amount of media, much of it in American English. That has to be having an effect on our teenagers in particular.
Oh, certainly it is. And there's a thing which we call globish at this stage. It's English, a global English. English isn't sort of the narrow little RP dialect that was spoken in the home counties anymore. I mean, English is English in India, it's English in the Philippines, it's English in Dublin, in Galway. That's what English is. And it's a sort of global sweep. There's one very very interesting phenomenon, which is what we call the, if you take just one feature, which is the global use of quotative like. Long ago, we used to say, when we're telling a story, we used to say, I said, or I say. So now everybody says, I'm like. And that's something that has literally swept across the globe in an amazing short time. It's one of those things that kind of epitomizes the use of global English. And there's no doubt that youngsters are picking up items like this. Now, it doesn't mean just because they're using this new form of quotative, what they call quotative, like, it doesn't mean that their own dialects are disappearing. So, you know, we'll still in Ireland say things like it or going to the party. Our own dialects and varieties still maintain their existence.
Okay. And just on that, Vera, because I want to bring in the Alex Scott story here.
Yes.
Because her accent and her dialect, I suppose, was criticised by a lord, no less than a lord, at the weekend. We'll just have a quick listen to Alex Scott.
So far, we've been running, riding, shooting, scoring, swimming and putting, but we've still got a lot of gold to still uncover.
So that was Alex Scott. She's obviously one of the presenters on BBC on their Olympics coverage. Former Labour Minister, House of Lords member, criticised her accent, saying things like, enough, I can't stand it anymore. Alex Scott spoils a good presentational job with her very noticeable inability to pronounce her G's at the end of a word. And he goes on to say, Alex, we're not taking part in the fence and roan, boxing, karakin, weightlifting. Is there a line where, you know, where does it stop being an accent and where does it start being, you know, speaking proper English?
Yeah, well, it's really interesting. The Digby Jones view is very funny, and it's very typical of many, many people's own view of how they speak themselves. So he belongs to a tiny, tiny minority of public school boys who speak in a particular way, and they speak what's called an RP. This is not a general use of English. Alex Scott is actually speaking using his language correctly.
Yeah.
She's a working class young female speaker from East London. If she started sticking in her G everywhere, it would be in inverted commas wrong for her because it's not right for her dialect.
Okay.
And what was really funny was he chooses while he's ticking her off for dropping her G, he's using something that's wrong himself in inverted commas because he's saying period. Now, period is not part of RP speech. He should be really using full stop if he was following his own rules.
Okay.
And the other thing
I'm going to have to cut you off because we are actually well over time now, but I do thank you for that. Really interesting perusal of accents and where we get them from and where they're going. But that's all we have time for today. Thank you all for listening. Today's programme was produced by Barbara Feeney. Our researcher was Amy Ryan. Broadcast coordinator was Geraldine Collins. On sound, we had Jamie Doyle. And now it's over to Ronan Collins.